Asher Koach, Rishus, Reish Kailo, Rav Bieberfeld, Marm Ravonan, Leisai. Just to take a day out and a day that's off and have people sit and learn Torah is a tremendous way to spend the day. And the fact that the Kailo can kind of have a nice Olam that comes out to do this shows their value and their success. Baruch Hashem, the Kailo should continue their wonderful leadership to continue to grow and build. We're going to talk about the Hashkafas of Hanukkah through a Machshava Dika view and lens. First of all, it's interesting to note that Hanukkah is not talked about a lot in Torah Shebaal Peh, in Oral Torah. You find it a little bit in Gemara, but it's touched upon as opposed to other Yamim Tayyivim that are elaborated on a lot more. In Purim, we have Megillah, which has an entire Masechta dedicated to it. Hanukkah, you don't have it as much. And the reason for that is Hanukkah is Lamala Miteva, supersedes our nature, supersedes this world. Whenever we're talking about our world in completion, it's associated with the number 7. 7, Yechalta V'Savata, we're satiated, we're completed, we ate, we're now satisfied. Our Olam HaTeva, our physical world, there are 7 heavens, there are 7 oceans, there are 7 continents. The number 7 is associated with our world and its completion. This world is 70% water, the human being is 70% water. Again, constantly revolving itself around the number 7. Shavuos, of course, is 7 times 7. There are 7 weeks to build up to the complete perfection. The terminology even of how our Olam, how our world is able to survive and continue is through Geshem, is through rain, is through water. Geshem is 333 numerically, which is exactly 7 times 7, which is 49 times 7, 343, because Geshem, water, which also corresponds to Torah, the Gemara talks about it, when you pour water on the ground, it finds its lowest source, and for Torah, for a person to succeed, they have to be humble. Water sustains, Torah sustains, Rabbi Akiva is like a fish in the water, he says he can't come out, even when the Romans are threatening him with death. Because to survive in this world, you need Torah, you need water, you need Geshem, 343, 7 times 7 times 7. Even in the Gaiish world, famous George Miller, 1956, put out an article about the amazing number 7. He says he doesn't understand why it is, but he says musical notes are exactly 7. There are 7 musical notes that we associate with. He says further that if a person is given a taste test, a whole bunch of different chulents. And you have to taste different types of chulents. If we had instead of a shulent, we do a chulent. You get all the shuls in the community get together and everybody presents their ultimate chulent and everybody tastes it. The human brain has the capability to acknowledge and distinguish 7 different flavors. And after that it's done. The human mind can't comprehend anything past that 7. Because that's the shleimus, the completion in the physical human being. Princeton researchers have come up that the human mind can only remember 7 numbers, and that's why the telephone numbers are 7. You have the area code, we assume you'll memorize that, but 7 numbers in the telephone. Because that's what the human being can retain and hold on to, because the physical world, our world, is associated with that number 7. That is shleimus, that is completion in our physical world. Who is the melech, the king, that represents Shleimus, that will bring this world to its completion? David HaMelech, of course. David HaMelech was meant to die at birth. The Ari HaKadosh brings down that Adam HaRishon gave him 70 years of his life, and the Arizal says it's hidden in Adam HaRishon's name. Aleph is for Adam himself. Dalet is David HaMelech, and Mem is Mashiach. Adam HaRishon takes 70 years of his life, gives it to David HaMelech, who ultimately brings completion to the world, brings Mashiach into the world. David HaMelech is the 7th son of Yishai. He marries Bat Sheva. You ever heard of a person's name named after a number? You need a woman, that Sheva, that has the capability to complete Dovar HaMelech in order to produce and create a Shlema HaMelech, which is Hashlama. That's what his name is, Shlomo, the same as Hashlama, to be able to bring the Beis HaMikdash into this world. The perfection of this physical world is Dovar HaMelech, the king that has the capability to make it all happen. Dovid HaMelech, of course, is Nifter on Shabbos, the seventh day on Shavuos, which is 7 times 7. Dovid HaMelech rules in Chevron for 7 years, and he's our seventh guest at the Sukkah. 7, of course, is also the number on the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, the Menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu built, had 7 branches to it. To complete this world, Shabbos Kodesh, to elevate and infuse meaning into the physical world. The Sifrei Machshava bring down that the concept of 7 on the Menorah correspond to the human being, to the head, the face of the human being that has 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, and a mouth. 7, because a human being has the capability to elevate themselves and come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come closer to Hashem. We have the capability, we are a temple, we are a mikdash. By learning, by davening, by growing, we have the capability to grow and build and turn ourselves into something great. A person shouldn't push away Yiddishkeit. The closer you get to it, and the more mitzvahs you're able to do, and the more you're able to learn, instead of burning out, you'll be able to steig and become who you really meant to be, this temple. I remember hearing a joke a long time ago about some guy who was offered a job, multi-million-dollar job, but they told him that he had to be a Christian if he wanted the job. And he's hemming and hawing, he doesn't know, he wants to be a Yid, but he needed the money, and he says, you know what, Yetzer Hara got a hold of him, he took the job. And he comes to tell his wife, and his wife says, how could you do that? What are you talking about? We've got to be Yid, and we're Yid. You know, I don't care how much money it is, go back there and tell them that you're a Yid, and forget the money, forget the job. So he goes back to his boss, and tells his boss, listen, I think I spoke too quickly. I really shouldn't have taken the job. I'm sorry. The job says, the boss says, you're so valuable to us. You're so important. You're doing such a wonderful job. That, you know what? Keep Shabbos. Keep the mitzvahs. Don't be a Christian. Go back to Yiddishkeit, and I'll still give you the job. And he's so excited. He's elated. He goes running home to his wife, and he says, honey, you're never going to believe this. We got everything. We got the money, we kept the job, and we get to be completely Yiddish again. We're Jews, full mitzvahs. She says, you fool, you couldn't wait till after Pesach. And that's what happens, unfortunately, in our world. Often we'll push away items that might be difficult for us, but what we don't realize is that our reality is to be a mikdash. We're a mizbeach. Our face is a menorah. We are an embodiment of the perfection of the physical world. The Maharal and the Gra bring down that 8 represents Shemaina, which are the same letters as Shemaina. Fat, if you will, but over and above. That's 8. As a matter of fact, Shemaina, when you switch the letters around, are Neshama. Our soul that is over and above anything to do with this physical world. Forget about completion of this world. It supersedes and surpasses, transcends our physical world. In secular view, mathematic symbol for perfection and for infinity is the horizontal 8. 8 represents transcendence of our physical world. There's only one parsha in the Torah that's given a number, named after a number, and that is Shemini. Why is it? Why would you call Shemini 8? The idea is, in Shemini, Nadav and Avihu, those two tremendous tzaddikim, that by the way, the Arizal says that when in the laning you hear about their passing, Aaron HaKohen's children, if you shed a tear, you'll be protected the entire year. They were tremendous tzaddikim, and you're supposed to feel bad over the loss of tzaddikim. They bring an Esh Zar, this fremda fire, an external fire, and they bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, and they're killed. They die. Who was Nadav and Avihu? Not going into who they were in their Gulgulim, but just to understand a little bit about what they did, where their mistake was, according to many commentaries, is that they shot for transcendence. They tried to be like the Kayan Gadol, their father, Aaron HaKayan. The Kohen Gadol represented transcending the physical world. He goes into the Kachin Kachin, that's Lamalam and Azman, it's above time. Kohen Gadol wears 8 garments because he transcends the world and connects us to Hashem in a way that nobody else can. He's able to go into an area that nobody else can. That's the Kohen Gadol that corresponds to the number 8. Transcendence. Nadav and Aviv, in their thirst for coming close to Hashem, want to jump and bridge that gap sooner than they were able to. They weren't the Kohen Gadol yet. But Nadav comes from the word mitnadev. I want to give, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to give you as much as I can. Aviv, my father, I want to be like Aaron HaKohen. I want to be like my dad. Nadav and Aviv jumped the gun too early, and they end up in trouble. And the Haftarah, if you look over there, also talks about touching the Yaron and jumping. And it wasn't your place yet. Shouldn't be touching the Aron HaKodesh. And I think it's a chizik for all of us to understand that when we're steiging in Yiddishkeit, there's a progression of how we have to go. If we're not realistic about that progression, then what happens is we end up in trouble. If somebody comes to learn and he's thinking that he's going to be able to make a laning on Gemara in a couple, he's going to be holding with the boys in a couple months, and then he gets very frustrated and he gets turned off. Person should realize that that's part of the process. He's supposed to learn and grow and steig. You got the masasi. It takes ikiya first. You've got to steig and work on yourself in order to be able to grow and become something great. Chanukah, of course. It's 8 days. Maral says, who is victorious in the war for us? The Chashmainayim. What's Chashmainayim? Ches Shmaina. 8 times 8. It's 8 and Nacha 8. You have people that are superseding the nature. A handful of people that stand up for Hashem and fight for Hashem. There was no human capabilities in being able to win that victory. Completely men Hashemayim. No way to point to it and say, this is normal. Chanukah we light with shemen, oil. The same oil that we anoint the Kohen Gadol with, transcending this physical world. As a matter of fact, when you take oil, 8, and you mix it with water, 7, 70% of this world, 70% of the human being floats above it. It doesn't want association with it. It doesn't mix. Oil floats above water. It's hidden, it's secret, and it doesn't mix. Happens to be that even the Minhagim in Klal Yisrael, the custom of the Jewish people, are so deep. 8, transcendence, Hanukkah, the 8 candles going over and above. Jelly donuts and latkes have tremendous depth to them. That's one minhag that all of Klal Yisrael is very makbid on. We're very serious on making sure to have some good jelly donuts and latkes at least a couple of nights during Chanukah. But the depth that's involved in even our minhagim, 8 transcendence, who we are and what we're capable of doing by connecting with Hashem, 8 bris milah, the 8th day that a child is circumcised, because we're making a statement that we're associating ourselves, we're taking the 7, our physical bodies, and we're associating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're realizing that we're gurnished, it's just a matter of what Hashem wants. The B'nai Yisachar says something fascinating. B'nai Yisachar brings down that on Chanukah we spin a dreidel. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. Every kid knows that. How do you hold a dreidel? From the top. Show me how to do it. You hold it like this, and look how he's holding it with 2 fingers. You're barely holding on to it. And you spin the dreidel. Now, that represents the idea that Hashem is in full control of what's going on without human intervention or action whatsoever. It spun from the top. Hashem brought Shefa, brought bounty down from the heavens in order to save us, be made Chanukah on the days of Chanukah. We didn't deserve to be saved on Chanukah. Klal Yisrael didn't have this united front. We weren't holding in a special place spiritually to deserve. Our actions didn't justify protection. What, 8? A handful of the Chashmainayim, the Cheshmainam, a handful, Yochanan Kohen Gadol and a few of the boys went out to fight the Greek army. There wasn't enough of a intervention from the Jewish people below. There wasn't enough to shake the heavens, to cause the heavens to come to save us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Chesed Chinam, it was a freebie. We spun the dreidel, you spin it from the top, it's all Hashem, and when you spin a dreidel, you're holding on to it with your fingers. You don't even have a grasp on it. You're barely holding it. It could drop out of your fingers in a second. It had nothing to do with human interaction with Hashem. When you spin a dreidel, you're not in control of when it stops. It just goes and goes and goes and goes until it stops whenever it's supposed to stop. Because Klal Yisrael was still involved, the assimilation that was going on between the Greeks and the Jewish people was intense. It was terrible. We didn't do anything to deserve to be free. As a matter of fact, in a mystical sense, the letter Yud is the most spiritual of all letters. It's so spiritual, it's a dot. It doesn't even have a tzura. It doesn't even have a form. It's too holy for a form. It's a dot. It's a dot of ink. That same Yud that ends up flying, going to from Sarai and Yoshua and Yosef at Tzadik. It's a dot. And it floats above the page. It doesn't even touch the page. What Yavon did was, they took that little drop, that floating, beautiful letter, that spiritual letter, the first letter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name of Rachamim, and they brought it down onto the page. They brought it onto planet Earth. Yud turned into a Vav. And then they turned it into a Nun. They ingrained it deep into the ground. Yavon, that's Greece. Yud, Vav, Nun. Take this spiritual capability, the Neshama, the power that Klal Yisrael has, bring it down to planet Earth, and then use it for physicality and dig it deep into the ground. That's Yavon. What were we supposed to do with the letter Yud? Yud, you spelled out, when you pronounce Yud, it's Yud, Yud, Vav, Dalet. You're supposed to take the Yud, you're supposed to bring it down onto the world, and then Dalet, spread it to the four corners of the earth. That's what you're supposed to do with the Yud. You're supposed to be able to bring it into your life, elevate your family, elevate Klal Yisrael, utilize it for good around the world to make the world a better place. Yavon ingrained it into their system. Klal Yisrael didn't do much about it. The Jewish people didn't do enough. Hashem went and saved us anyway. That's the dreidel, says the Bnei Yisachar, spun from the top. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the full show. We didn't do our part. The contrast to that is Purim. What happens on Purim? We shake a grogger. How does a grogger work? You hold it from the bottom and you shake it, which causes the upper part to have an effect. Notice you have a full grip on it. What happens in Purim? Klal Yisrael gets together, the Jewish people unite, and we fast together, we daven together, we do tshuva together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, open up to me the eye of a needle, I'll take care of the rest, but you start. That was Purim. We started. We made the move. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll take over from here. When a person is spinning a dreidel, as soon as he stops spinning, the dreidel stops moving, the grogger stops moving, he was in full control. Hanukkah, it's all coming from above. It's a nace. It's coming from the top. The dreidel as a whole is a phenomenal idea of hashkacha pratis, of how everything comes from Hashem. It's not something that you've earned. No sense of entitlement. The world said, leave us. Come to be part of the four Golios. Integrate with us. And Klal Yisrael called out, no. Hashem spinning the dreidel. It's all hashkacha on how things are going to work out. It's all Hashem and what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. And the dreidel is spinning. And Bavel, Babylonia, turns to the Jewish people and says, become part of our culture. And the Jewish people say, are you kidding me? What was Bavel famous for? The Babylonians were famous for their alternate religion. They had crystal balls and they had all different types of idolatry. They told the Jewish people, come into our culture, you'll succeed. And he said, please, it's not you, it's Hashem that runs the world. And they laughed and they thought they were going to be around forever. They were a world power. And Hashem spun the dreidel and it lands, instead of on them, which was the original Nun Nefesh, as the four letters of the dreidel are Nes, Gadol, Hayasham, Nun, Gimel, Shin, Hey. The first one is Nun Nefesh, which is the first exile the Jewish people went through, the Babylonian exile, and we spin out of them very quickly. We don't even hear of a Babylonian. They're gone. It then falls on Gimel, Gadol, Nes, Gadol, Hayasham, Gimel, which is Guf, which is physicality, which was Persia. The Purim story, parties, feasts, entertainment. Don't you want to have fun in this world? Live today, for tomorrow you might die. Klal Yisrael, come to us. And the Jewish people said, nah, it's about Torah, it's about mitzvahs, it's about more than this world. We're just passing through this world. And they laughed, and they thought they were going to outlive us and outlast us, and Hashem spun the dreidel, and they disappear before they know it, and before we know it, we're on seichel, knowledge. That's Greece. They came with a very tough one for the Jewish people. Intellect, mathematics, science. They wanted us to use it as an end in and of itself and not as a means to come closer to Hashem. And we said, absolutely not. And they thought they were going to be around forever. They were confident. We have the intelligence, the knowledge, intelligent design. And Hashem spun it again. And it's now on the final galus, the final exile. The exile of Rome, the exile of Hay. You know what Hay stands for? Hakol. Everything. Because that's America. That's our exile now. What don't we have? Alternate religions? You know, Christianity alone has over 100,000 different variations. Technology, knowledge. Nobody's had more advanced technology than we have today. The goof of Persia, the partying and entertainment, every block has another bar. Nobody's able to say that they have more in any culture than we have today. Hakol, you open up a closet today and it's a rainbow of colors that hits you, of the different designs and dresses that are out there. You want it? By all means, you've got everything. And this is the hardest exile of them all. Every other galus we said no to, and the dreidel spun, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spun it off to a different time, a different culture, made them disappear, as Mark Twain says. But this exile on our own, we're opting out. It's very overwhelming. There are so many challenges. It's all in one. It's HaKol. That's what we're living in now. And we have to turn around and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fearing the world. It has nothing to do with us. And I don't care who's going to be the president, because I'm not in control of who's running this world. Oh my gosh, we've got this guy in charge now. We're in big trouble. Now what's going to happen? I keep getting the what's going to happen. You daven, you learn, you do your part. Kodesh Baruch Hu is fearing the world. Baruch Hashem, you don't have to puppeteer the world. It's all Hashem. Hashem wanted to show Klal Yisrael that you're too confident on your own. I don't want to put you in a situation where I give you the feeling that you won awards. You know, on Chashmanam, we don't celebrate the battle of the Chashmanam. We spoke about the Ches Shmaina, the 8-8. Let me just celebrate that. That's pretty. That's a lot more interesting, a lot more powerful than a little bit of oil that lasted extra. Yes, it's nice. Finds throughout the Gemara many times where the Tanam were able to turn the Ketav vinegar burning like oil. Okay, so it happened. But a war, beat a world power with a handful of guys. Hashem didn't want us to even think for a second that it was because of our military strategy. Somebody might for a moment think, yes, but there was military. Maybe they were very strong. Maybe they were clever in the way they came about the battle. Nonsense. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that runs the world every step of the way. And let Amili Yishayin, El Avinu Shemayim. It's all Hashem. It's silly if you think otherwise. That's Hanukkah. It's spinning and spinning. You're not in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is spinning the dreidel from the top. You didn't even earn it. Who's going to govern us and how it's going to work? Hashem is showing you that I don't want to give you a president that's going to make you think that it's natural for things to work out. It's not natural. I can put whoever I want up there, and it's all miraculous. It's all me. You need me. You need to rely on me. It's all about me. What is lit on this menorah, on this concept of eight? A fire. That's interesting that every time Hashem reveals himself, that we find, comes about through a fire. Moshe Rabbeinu comes across the sneh, the burning bush. There's a fire. Har Sinai had a fire. Gemara talks about different times where some of the Tanaim are learning and there's a fire that engulfs the area because they're reenacting Har Sinai. It's revolved around the idea of a fire. What is it about the fire? What is it about Eish that has to do with Torah? That has to do with Hashem revealing himself to us? You know the famous Gemara in Sukkah, Chavches, Rav Yonasan ben Azil is learning, and any bird that flew over his head got burnt. Arizal says it's special malachim called Srafim that come to his listen to the Torah, and a bird flies by, sorry, shouldn't have been in the area of the malach, it got burnt. So you got the Chassid saying, ah, so beautiful, Kayach HaTorah. At the Litvak saying, what's going to be with the Nezek? Who's responsible for the bird? What if it belonged to somebody else? But the idea of fire and Torah are always associated with one another. They come, they're in close proximity to one another. What is it about it? Rav Moshe Shapiro brings down that fire represents Dveikus. connection, warmth. Ever wonder why it is that campfires bring people together? What is it about camps and fires? Kumsitz. What gives you the perfect spirit for a kumsitz? You sit around the fire. What's a romantic dinner? Candlelit. Nachamo, fire. So what is it about the Eish that causes us to draw near? So Rav Moshe Shapiro explains that fire represents Achdus. Anything that's thrown into fire becomes part of the same fire, becomes part of the same item. The tip of the fire in the menorah and every fire is a white color. White, which is the color that unifies all colors. It's Achdus. The end of Yisrael, we're going to discuss one item. What item do we discuss? The Mizbeach. If you ask me, the parsha that you put in Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, hey, talk about the Aron Kodesh that represents Torah, that's Klal Yisrael. You're going to pick out of everything the Mizbeach. What is it about the Mizbeach that causes that we choose to choose Dafka that one? What's about the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach shows this idea of a connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mizbeach is us doing action below, we light a fire below, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a fire from above. It represents the connection that Klal Yisrael has, this chuppah, if you will, of Klal Yisrael, this relationship Ashir Ashirim brings down, of Chosam Kala between the Jewish people and Hashem. Mizbeach shows this connection. Ish and Isha, a relationship, a connection, both have the letters Eish. Gemara and Saita talks about fire within it, and then a Yud and a Hey, of course. Because again, the Yud is this floating letter we spoke about, a potential Kayach, and the woman's mission is to take the Yud and pull it down onto the ground and cover it with a Dalet to spread the Kayach into the world. That's Eish, a fire. Chos and Kala. As a matter of fact, the only two letters that are not written side by side with one another in the entire Torah and Ksuvim, Nevi'im, is Get. Gimel and Tes are never written together. Because Gimel and Tes, Gematria, Thaisis brings down 12 to the lines that are needed for a Get. No divorce, no disassociation is going to be mentioned together in the Torah. It's Klal Yisrael and Hashem together. The Mizbeach corresponds to that item, that idea of the Jewish people and Hashem being connected. We start the fire down here, Kadosh Baruch Hu continues the fire from above. That's the Mizbeach. An Eish. And amazingly, that's why the Gemara in Gittin Daf Tzadik brings down that when a couple break up and they're divorced, who cries? The Mizbeach. Why the Mizbeach? Because the Mizbeach is the item that epitomizes the relationship between the Chosen and the Kala, Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Who better to cry? Because it's an Eish, it's a fire, it's a unifier, it's a uniter. It's a color that merges us all together. That's the Mizbeach. That's Eish, that's fire, that's the fire on the menorah. But when a person lights the menorah, the seven candles in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when a person lights the menorah, the eight today transcendence in this world, there's no reciprocation. You're lighting it down here. It's not coming from Shemayim above. So what does that represent? What does that mean? It represents the idea of Achdus down here in this world, that through our unity down below, we cause the eight, the effects above, to come into this world. By our kayach of uniting, we have the capability to be able to bring down Shefa from above that transcends logic. We'll have wars in Eretz Yisrael and we'll have bombs flying and nobody will get hurt if Klal Yisrael is together, because we're untouchable if we're together. That's the seven that's down here below. That's the menorah that's lit. Achdus has the capability to change the course of history and to change Teva. Who lights the seven? Aharon HaKohen. The epitome of an Ayav Shalom. Perkei Avos in the Gemara in a couple places talks about how Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was Ner Yisrael. He was called Ner Yisrael, the light of the fire, the flame of Israel. Why Ner Yisrael? Because he was always the first one to be Makom Shalom. He would always start first. He would be who's a peacemaker. He'd run after and greet you. Shalom and fire are associated with one another. The Kohen Gadol wears around his breastplate. He wears a choshen which had the 12 tribes on his chest because he represented the epitome of a unifier. He was all about achdus, bringing Klal Yisrael closer to Hashem and bringing Klal Yisrael themselves close to one another. All the candles of the menorah face one direction, one central point. They're united in the direction that they're going. And the power of Shalom is such that it could win wars, it could win battles, and it protects us. I remember hearing a while back that, I don't recall exactly where I heard it from, but when David HaMelech beat Goliath, he used 5 stones. And on each stone he inscribed a name. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Aaron. And he shot all 5 at one time at Goliath. The one that killed Goliath, that penetrated his head to kill him, was Aaron HaKohen. Because you think, oh, a person's going to be a nice guy and everything's going to, you know, you get stepped on. When there's achdus, that's when there's success. That's when you win wars. That's when you have the capability to overcome and supersede anything in the Olam HaTeva. That's how you transcend, and that's how you are able to do your part below by opening up the Pesach of this needle, this opening of the needle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take over for you. The Purim story, we held on tight and we were in control because we came together unified. Why are we celebrating Hanukkah so much if we didn't even do anything? That what's so geschmack about what we did? Some Chashmanaim stepped up to the plate. We kind of failed. We didn't deserve it. Purim, we should celebrate. L'chaim, drinking, sudas. Hanukkah. What are you celebrating exactly? What did you do? The beauty is that even when you don't do, Hashem loves you so much that He'll make sure to take care of you, Saivi. He'll take care of you anyway. The relationship that you have with Hashem, the fire that corresponds to the Mizbeach below is there always, and Hashem loves you always, and Hashem will do anything for His people always. But of course, the more we do, and the more we're able to unite, the more we bring down that bracha into our world in order to cause this tremendous, dramatic effect. The menorah that's made of one piece of gold. I remember, actually, I was in Eretz Yisrael at the Plaza Hotel, and my wife's grandfather had a friend, Moskowitz, a banker in Vienna. And he had a friend over that claimed that he built the menorah that's going to go into the Beis HaMikdash. And he asked me if I wanted to see it. He had it across the street at the Great Synagogue. I said, yeah, sure, why not? He takes me across the street. He spent, I don't remember if it was $30 million. And he built a solid gold, magnificent menorah. And I said to him, where'd you get a big enough piece to chisel out this menorah? He says, big enough piece? Are you kidding me? He said, you know how each piece was intricately done by artists separately? I said, I should probably, before you invested $30 million, should have read the book, you know, about how they make, how you're supposed to make this thing. It's got to be achdus. It's got to be one. It's got to come from one chunk. That's when Klal Yisrael succeeds. We say every day and every night, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Even a fried person understands Shema Yisrael and what it is. I was just at a deathbed of one of our mespalelim, one of their parents. No shaykhus to Yiddishkeit at all. And I said, is it okay if I say Shema with you? You repeat after me. And she starts welding up with tears in her eyes. Something about Shema Yisrael resonates in our neshama. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Baruch, Shem, Kavod, Malchusoy, Lailam, Vaed, 12 for the 12 tribes of the Jewish people. Because when we're united as one, there's no stopping us. And we have the capability to succeed and prevail. That's the menorah. That's the fire. And that's how we're able to bring the Shefa from above down into our world. My bracha to everybody is, we should be zaycha to realize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. We should be zaycha to constantly dedicate our lives to Hashlama, to Seven, to fulfilling our completion in this world, to Shabbos Kodesh, which is the end of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's building of the world. The end result is always the purpose of the entire thing. Somebody's a doctor. So you start tracing back, the end result was a doctor. Now in order to become a doctor, I had to go to residency. In order to do residency, I had to go to medical school. In order to have medical school, I had to go to high school. So when I was a little kid and I decided in high school, in elementary school, that I wanted to be a doctor, it was all for the end result of the final result. I became a doctor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds the world. And the end is Shabbos Kodesh. It's about completing our physical world and elevating it and making it spiritual, making it great. The Greeks went ahead and they tried to destroy us. We told them it's all Ashkocha, it's not you. So what do I do with the Hakol, a Maisa today? I've got everything. I've got the technology. I've got the Persia. I've got the Chochma. What do I do? Should I push it away now? You should elevate it and use it for Torah Mitzvahs. Person should, anybody that looks at a cell and doesn't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu is got to be off his rocker. You use all these items to see the beauty in a Kodesh. The Baal Shem Tov used to look at a beautiful painting and he said, wow, he saw a Kodesh Baruch Hu in that. There's this blend of colors to bring you closer to Hashem. Use the knowledge to come closer to Hashem. Have a good time, of course. As soon as mitzvah, you got to have a great time. Who has a better party than the Jewish people? Every Shabbos. I give you the challenge to find me a guy that you can bring down here that has more fun than we have. In a Kaddish way. In a spiritually uplifting way. You want to eat beautiful foods? Go for it. Shabbos Kaddish. You want to buy a beautiful dress? Go, I don't care what the name brand is. Seder, do it. Buy your wife a beautiful outfit. Covered yantif. We have the capability to elevate the physical world that way. And through achdus, through coming closer, through connecting, through the fire of the menorah, through the eight, through the mizbeach, which connects the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, start below and I'll continue from above. We have the capability to change the world. We should all be zeicha to tap into that excitement, to tap into that achdus. And Klal Yisrael should be zeicha to see the completion, the David HaMelech and the Bas Sheva, the King of Seven, and Shlomo HaMelech, L'Moshe, to be able to have the Mashiach Tzidkenu come in here of Yemen. Yashar Koach.